Hello, my name is Carice Gwynn, and I work in the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Inspector General, or OIG. Joining me today is Charles Brunton, a program analyst in our Office of Audit and Evaluation. Today we are discussing key findings from the OIG's final report on the EPA's response to drinking water contamination in Flint, Michigan. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you, Carice. Glad to be here.
Before we start discussing the details of this final Flint report, I want to point out to our audience that the OIG has been involved with the Flint water crisis in two different ways. The first part of our involvement, which we will talk about here, is a performance audit conducted by program analysts concerning the efficiency and effectiveness of the EPA's drinking water program in Region 5, which covers states in the Midwest. The second part of our involvement deals with a different OIG office and criminal investigators participating in a federal investigation led by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Michigan. These are two separate processes with different objectives, but both are related to the drinking water contamination in Flint. As a reminder to our audience, back in October of 2016, the OIG's Office of Audit and Evaluation published a management alert specific to one of the EPA's oversight authorities concerning the emergency response in Flint. The report we will discuss today is a second report titled Management Weaknesses Delayed Response to Flint Water Crisis. This report more broadly covers the EPA's response to the crisis and the overall performance of the drinking water program. Okay, Charles, would you please provide a brief background on the Flint water crisis and the earlier management alert?
Sure. In April 2014, while under the oversight of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, the Flint public water system, which serves a population of nearly 100,000 residents, switched from purchasing treated water from the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department, now called Great Lakes Water Authority, to treating its own water supply obtained from the Flint River. However, in doing so, the City of Flint and the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality did not adhere to key components of the Lead and Copper Rule and the Safe Drinking Water Act. Both city and state officials believed that the Flint public water system did not need to maintain a program existing at the time to control corrosion control treatment in the drinking water distribution system, when in fact it did. As a result, lead leached into the Flint water distribution system. The EPA issued an emergency order in January 2016 stating that the EPA had determined city and state responses to the crisis were inadequate and ordering specific actions to address the public health threat. In the OIG's October 2016 management alert, we found that the EPA Region 5 office could have issued the order as many as 7 months earlier, per the EPA's own guidance concerning imminent and substantial endangerment.
Okay, thank you for that overview, Charles. There has been considerable interest in the OIG's findings regarding this topic. Let's discuss the final report's key findings. For instance, I read that EPA Region 5 did not establish clear oversight roles and responsibilities. Will you please explain more about that finding?
First, we found that EPA Region 5's focus on maintaining a partnership with Michigan influenced how the federal agency conducted oversight and enforcement in the state. For example, in 2010, an EPA contractor reviewed the Michigan Department's drinking water program and identified internal implementation deficiencies. The contractor also observed that the department had disinvested from 13 Safe Drinking Water Act requirements. A disinvestment represents the EPA granting the Michigan Department a waiver from carrying out certain lower priority requirements of the Act. The EPA acknowledged that states often have difficulties with resources and allowed the disinvestments. However, the disinvestments were meant to be temporary, and EPA Region 5 did not intervene to bolster the Michigan Department's drinking water program so that it met minimum federal standards. In fact, it was not until 2016, while under the EPA's emergency order, that the Michigan Department discontinued the majority of the disinvestments.
Another major finding of the audit is that the EPA and the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality did not communicate effectively. Would you please talk a little bit more about that finding?
Yes. we found that the EPA's internal communications and communications between the Michigan Department and the EPA did not convey key information about human health risks from lead contamination in Flint. This lack of communication limited the EPA's knowledge about risks and contributed to the delayed federal response.
Okay, well, let's talk more about the lack of communication.
Well, we found that the majority of complications associated with communication involve corrosion control requirements in the public water system. The lead and copper rule, for instance, does not explicitly address whether a large water system that previously purchased water should be considered a new system after a source change. Our final report highlights several points associated with communication issues, such as a February 2015 example where EPA Region 5 staff asked the state about corrosion control, but personnel at the Michigan Department told the region that Flint had an optimized corrosion control program in place. However, in April 2015, the state acknowledged that Flint was not using corrosion control and argued it was not required. Before that admission, EPA Region 5 did not have certain information needed to intervene.
So there were other communication issues as well, correct?
Yes. Our final report also recounts a June 2015 communication failure, which involved EPA Region 5 advising the Michigan Department that Flint was required by the lead and copper rule to maintain consistent corrosion control. According to a manager at the Michigan Department, EPA Region 5 did not advise the state to initiate corrosion control at that point, although EPA Region 5 described its communication with the Michigan Department as being frequent, consistent, and clear, the department failed to take appropriate actions. As another example, in July 2015, when responding to a disagreement with the Michigan Department over corrosion control requirements, EPA Region 5 program staff sought advice from the Office of General Counsel at EPA headquarters on interpreting the lead and copper rule, but Region 5 did not formally request a legal opinion until September 30 of that year. The region's communication process for a legal opinion from EPA headquarters further delayed EPA enforcement actions.
Not only were communication issues problematic, but the OIG's report states that EPA Region 5 did not have an effective system for risk assessment. The report explains that an effective risk assessment system provides the basis for responding to threats that impact human health. It goes on to say that while single contamination events in Flint could not have signaled to the EPA that lead contamination was occurring, the combined information available to Region 5 painted a picture of a system at risk from multiple angles. Charles, would you please discuss the report's finding related to the EPA system for risk assessment?
In addition to the previously mentioned disinvestment activities, there were other examples of risk. In May 2014, for instance, after EPA Region 5 staff became aware that the city had switched to using the Flint River as a source, a number of problems emerged that should have warned the agency that the system was at risk, including citizen complaints, elevated lead levels in the drinking water of at least four homes, compliance issues, and inaccurate information from the state on the use of corrosion control. In 2015, an EPA Region 5 manager drafted an interim report that outlined concerns about lead in Flint's drinking water and the lack of corrosion control treatment. Also in 2016, the EPA managers discovered that the Michigan Department's personnel did not establish water quality parameters required by the lead and copper rule. Water quality parameters are a means of assuring that corrosion control treatment is fully functional. These are just a couple of examples of growing evidence of risk in Flint.
So not only did the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality miss warning signs that the Flint water system was at risk, auditors found that EPA Region 5 did not use available oversight and monitoring authorities and tools to influence the Michigan Department. Would you please elaborate on this finding?
Yes. The Safe Drinking Water Act provides several types of oversight tools for the EPA to use to verify that states are accurately implementing the law. Basically, we found that of the six authorities and five tools that the EPA may use under the Safe Drinking Water Act, most were not used because EPA regional leadership and managers did not recognize the authorities or tools or did not deem them appropriate. For instance, EPA Region 5 has the authority under the Safe Drinking Water Act to negotiate resolution of grant issues or impose additional conditions, such as withholding funds, if a grantee is in non-compliance or issues cannot be resolved. However, Region 5 did not place additional conditions on the Michigan Public Water Systems Supervision Grant, even when issues were identified.
Okay, so the report's findings paint a picture of a system at risk and in crisis. As we wrap up, would you provide us with an overview of the recommendations that the OIG presents in the report?
To help avoid drinking water program failures elsewhere, we recommended that the EPA use lessons learned from Flint to improve oversight of compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act. Specifically, we recommended that the EPA establish controls to annually verify that states are monitoring compliance with all lead and copper rule requirements, including accurately implementing key lead and copper rule components. In response, the EPA did not propose a corrective action that would satisfy this recommendation, so we continue to work with them on it. We also recommended that the EPA incorporate more protective monitoring requirements into the revised lead and copper rule the agency is developing. The EPA provided adequate planned corrective actions and completion dates for the rest of the OIG's recommendations. Those include providing regular training for EPA drinking water staff, managers, and senior leaders on Safe Drinking Water Act tools and authorities and agency roles and responsibilities. Another recommendation is to implement a system to elevate and address important and emerging issues in accordance with EPA's own policy on an elevation of critical environmental and public health issues. In total, the audit team made 9 recommendations. All of them can be found in our report.
Thank you, Charles. This conversation has been very informative. Is there anything that you would like to say in conclusion?
Yes, we appreciate the agency's substantial effort to provide information and analysis on this important topic. Overall, we concluded that in order for the EPA to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of its federal response to drinking water emergencies, the agency and its regional offices must understand their oversight tools and authorities. The EPA also must not be reluctant to use those tools and authorities to assist states in protecting public health. Awareness of roles and responsibilities, as well as EPA authorities, are relevant not only for Region 5, but throughout the country and at a national level.
All right. Well, thank you, Charles Brunton. I appreciate you discussing the findings and recommendations from the OIG's final report on the Flint drinking water crisis. I want to remind our audience that the title of the OIG's report is Management Weaknesses Delayed Response to Flint Water Crisis. To read the report and learn more about the EPA Office of Inspector General's work, please visit our website at www.epa.gov/OIG. And please be sure to follow us on Twitter at EPAOIG. This is Carice Gwynn. Thank you for joining us.